This is School Talk.
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. Cesar Fernandez joining us here this morning. And we also have our guest here. And I know his pen name is JT Granger. So we'll go with that to start out. Good morning, JT.
Good morning. It's great to be here, by the way.
And, well, thank you, and apologize there for our technical glitch. We'll edit that out. Nobody will ever hear it again on the replay. Everybody will just think this was nice and smooth sailing this morning. So thank you for joining us. You are obviously a published author. I know that you put out your first book called Mary's Journey.
Yes.
And tell us about that novel.
Okay, sure. It is the first in a series of four fantasy fiction, novels. It is called The World Beyond the Stairs, Mary's Journey. So it is basically a journey about a woman named Mary Reynolds. She's from Indianapolis. She has a family. But during this really bad ice storm, she finds herself in a whole nother world. And she has to try to make it back home to them. And along the way, she get some help from these four sisters and also these magical animals that can talk to her. So it's a really cool story in that you get a chance to experience what she's going through. And also there's some mysteries that pop up that she has to try to figure out along the way.
Well, it sounds like that came out of your head.
Yeah, it did.
So what gave you kind of the inspiration or idea for the story?
Sure. Actually, something that was grounded in reality. Years back, I want to say maybe mid 2000s, but my wife was trying to get back home during an ice storm, and she got trapped on Meridian Street, and she had to go to her grandmother's house because that was the closest one. And I just kept thinking that night that it'd be weird if, while she was at her grandma's house, she ended up finding this new world. And that's kind of where the seeds of the idea started. And from there, it just kind of bloomed into this wonderful story that that spanned four novels. And to be honest, it might even go farther than that. But Mary's story will be only the four books.
JT Granger joining us here this morning on School Talk. Now, in your day job life... your name is not JT Granger. I don't know if you ever kind of come out behind from behind the novel or the book. So we'll leave that up to you. Do we reveal your true identity?
It's fine.
Okay.
It's Clark Kent. No,
Clark Kent. Yeah, that's right. It's Jonas Tuck.
Yes.
And Mr. Tuck is one of our paras here at Ben Davis High School in the special education special services, department mm-hmm. here at Ben Davis High School. And, you know, that's a whole another a whole different side of what you do.
It is.
So tell us a little bit about, we know about JT Granger and the books, but tell us about yourself.
Sure. I always feel like I'm really lucky and very fortunate. I get to do like two amazing things. I get to write in my spare time, but I get to work with great kids throughout my week. To be honest, I get a chance to, mentor them, help out, set them up so that they can be independent and get jobs after they finish school here. And I get a chance just to be a part of their lives, which I think is awesome. I never saw myself being in this role, but now I can't imagine myself not doing it. So I'm really lucky.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And obviously your father as well.
I am, yes.
So tell us about your family.
Yeah.
I already mentioned your wife.
Yeah. She works for St. Vincent. Big up, St. Vincent. but my kids, they are both in college now. My daughter's a junior. She's at Stanford. And my son, he's actually at Purdue. He's in the Cranard School of Business program. So I'm really proud of them. I didn't realize that they would end up going such, noble paths here. There were some maybe times there that we were kind of worried about where they end up, but I'm so proud of them. They've come into their own, and they're very responsible, and, they do their homework, and They study for tests and all that stuff. So it's really cool seeing them become responsible young adults now.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We've had an arrival. So what we're going to do is we're going to play musical chairs here. I'm going to try to figure out this headphone situation, and we will switch Caesar into his role as producer. So we're going to do that. We'll take this short break. We're talking to JT Granger / Jonas Tuck, the author of Mary's Journey, the World Beyond the Stairs. Sorry about that. I spaced it there for a moment. We'll be right back on School Talk.
Developing healthy habits around food and physical activity are important to start early. I'm Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. The 5210 program is an easy way for parents to help their children develop healthy habits that will help them become healthier adults. Ideally, kids will eat 5 or more fruits and veggies a day, limit screen time to no more than 2 hours a day, exercise for 1 hour a day, and drink zero sugary drinks. In doing so, they are creating healthy habits that will continue as they grow into adults. This Kids Count Minute is a message from the Indiana Youth Institute. For more parent tips, visit iyi.org/kids. Kids Count.
Something grand, get involved, you'll understand that kids count on you.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore, so you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Welcome back to school. Yeah, hey, what? Mr. Easter turned to Mr. Allen. How do you do that? It's Cheerios. Oh, yeah. Awesome time there, Mr. Easter. I listened to you. I was like, yep, I was running a little late, you know, so Mr. Easter started the show with this awesome author. And I listened to Mr. Easter on the radio. High five. Yeah, high five. We can do that on radio. I got a question. Yes. When did you gain the love for writing?
Well, to be honest, it began at a very early age. I always read, but I really started thinking I could become a writer maybe around seventh grade. I had a wonderful teacher named Mrs. Murphy, and she really cultivated me writing. I had a really tough time as a child, and it was definitely a way out or a way to escape, you know. And I didn't know that I could do it until she started encouraging me to write more, and I just kind of kept going. But I never had anything finished. There were like a number of years, my wife can attest to this, but there were a number of years where I just had all these great starts, but just didn't complete anything. And this is the very first time that I was actually able to reach the finish line and get it out there. So it's meant a lot to me so far.
Now, I heard you say something about imaginary characters.
Now, here's the question.
Sure.
When you were young, did you talk to imaginary characters?
To be honest, I had one of those imaginations where because I didn't have a lot of friends.
But I
definitely had imaginary characters. I like to think that it kind of helped me to, you know, hone in on how to do that as an adult, because sometimes you need to kind of run with, you know, your imagination, those thoughts, you know, and it helps you to create worlds later on, you know. Like, how would a world work? How would the people or the beings in that world, you know, how would they exist, you know, and with one another and with themselves? So
I ask that because I'm crazy, because I am. But it's that when you look at young people, and okay, the class clown.
Yeah, that's true.
The class clown.
Let's go there. Yeah,
always cracking up in the class. Now look at how many of the professionals out there right now are adults now.
Yeah,
and they were the class clown.
That's true.
And if someone didn't cultivate that talent way at that
It's so important to get early. Now, I am also, aside from, you know, working here, also aside from writing, I also do hip-hop. I do positive hip-hop.
Okay.
But back when I was in middle school, I also had another teacher, Mrs. Pitt, who would give me time at the end of class to stand up and do, you know, a rhyme that I'd wrote.
Right.
So it's really important when you have teachers to step up and say, hey, this is a good thing. Let's work on that. Let's build on that, because sometimes you might have students that need to express themselves.
Yeah.
And if they can find a positive way, like writing or music or anything like that, to get those emotions out, it benefits everyone. So
what tips do you give to young writers that are using your life as a good example, as being a young person at one time?
I'm 43 now.
So. Oh, you're a young puppy. And then writing the books that you have, what tips do you get young people for writing? How to start? How do you cultivate an ideal? How do you write down your ideals?
Sure. For me, ideas always come to me. So either I'll pull out my phone or something, or some type of device, or maybe I'll go old school with it, with the notepad.
Oh, yeah.
Cursor
writing? No.
I do some of that sometimes. But normally, yeah, I'll just, whatever the idea is, I'll jot it down. Usually have some type of rough outline, maybe even a summary of where I'd like the story to go, maybe what the character backstory is, you know, that type of thing. My advice to anybody aspiring to write would be to write. It's really important to just make a plan to do it every day. That's actually something I need to work on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just make a plan to write. Actually treat it like a business. I always say have office hours, so set maybe an hour aside for yourself. I used to do kind of like not so much a book club, but kind of a creative writing club, and we would have students that would say, I just can't find time to write, which I totally understand. It's hard, kind of putting aside that time. But what you can do is, if you have, I always ask them, do you have 5 minutes? If you have 5 minutes, you know, a day, even that helps, because the more that you set aside for yourself, the more you're going to find that, hey, I actually do have something here that I can work with. But 5 minutes, that's actually a lot. So I would say just to anyone aspiring to be a writer, set aside time for yourself. Give yourself time. And if you have an idea, jot it down, try to outline it. And you'll be amazed, if you keep working at it, what you end up coming up with at the end.
In Marriage Journey, now I like the title because my wife is named Mary.
Oh, that's right. All right. Yeah. All right.
Being married, I've been on this journey with my wife now going on 32 years.
All right. Congratulations.
Being married.
21 years over here. So
hey, push the magic button for married folks, y'all. Hey.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's hard. No, I'm just kidding.
It is.
I stay in trouble.
You
got to
work at it.
You got to work at it. Because the book introduces you to a world called divinity.
That's a yes, 100% correct. Yes.
Now, so tell us more about that world.
Okay. Well, cool. Here's the world. It's this world where it kind of seems like it's back in the 18th century. There's like these kind of old colonial kind of ways about the world, but the really cool thing is that everyone there, even animals, can communicate with one another.
That's
right.
Cool.
They have this special telepathic bond, mental bond, that they share with one another. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of weird to think about how we have to communicate here, you know, by talking to one another, by, you know, verbally. But there, you know, everything is shared mentally. So it allows, you know, the characters to be open with one another. And also it presents, a dilemma of, you know, how do you, because nowadays, you know, you have vegetarians, you have meat eaters, those types of things. I love eating meat, by the way.
Feed me.
But it would be a lot different if you had to do that with someone, with an animal that you can communicate with. So it presents, you know, that dilemma of, is this right? Is this wrong? There's also different type of social, political dilemmas as well. There's a not so great guy in there called Count de Bergerac, who does
Count
a lot of bad things. Count de Bergerac does a lot of bad things to a lot of people there, and it becomes one of those situations where how does this maybe mimic things that are going on in our own world. There are a lot of correlations to maybe some people that are out there now.
Politically,
but
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go. No.
But okay, now the characters or the book.
Yeah.
Now, how long did on this book, Mary's yeah. Journey? How long was it in the? Was it in your mind before sure. you put it on paper?
Sure. Well, again, we had. I was kind of telling Mr. Easter earlier. It was actually based off an event that happened during an ice storm where my wife, you know, she just couldn't make it home to us.
Right,
and
yeah.
She had to go to her grandma's house, and that's kind of where that started.
Okay,
now,
okay.
I kind of started jotting down the idea, the rough draft of that night, and kept going back to it. But I didn't officially start writing the book until maybe about a couple of years later.
But you planted the seed.
Planted the seed, right.
But planted you planted the seed. So planted young people seed. Need to – so. And that's what I was getting to, because a lot of times you get an ideal.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it'll just be part of an ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So what tips do you get young people? How should they journalize that? Or
yeah, I mean, again, I would really outline it. Like, think about, you know, maybe if it's a rough idea about how you want the story to resolve, or what you want the story. For me, it was I want it to be about a world where they can talk to each other by using their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Or more to the point, I want it to be a world where, because in this world of divinity, adults become children. So I want it to be, how would that work? You know, how would that work? Like, how did that happen? All this stuff. So that was the main idea was, okay, this is going to be about a world where adults become children. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and then kind of worked backwards from there, like of how that came to be. So if you have this, you know, this big idea, this general idea, write it down and then maybe try to outline the steps of how you're going to get to that point, and what you'd like to have happen with your characters and with this world or whatever you end up writing about. So,
okay. Speaking of, have you been, after you wrote your books,
sure.
and you had to go out and to promote your books, how in the world did you end up in a bookstore in New Zealand?
Yeah, that's true.
That's not down the street.
That is not down the street.
You can't take Metro to that.
You cannot. I'm trying. It'd be awesome if you could.
How did that come about?
Well, great. Well, anybody that knows me, that knows my family, we love to travel.
Wow.
It's something that I didn't get a chance to do really as a kid. We got to go to two places growing up. But my wife, her family, they were big travelers. So when we got married, it's one of those things that, hey, you're going to travel. So, and we never look back. It's one of those things where we get to see the world, and I can't imagine not doing that. So we had planned this big trip to New Zealand, to Australia, Japan, maybe last year, and had been working on it for several months and since then. And then the book came about where we realized we were going to be able to get it out there. And so we started looking at venues that maybe while we were, you know, in country, hey, you know, being able to speak to, you know, readers and
right.
Share the book that way. And I was really fortunate enough to be able to go to a local bookstore there. And they were very receptive to having me in and to the book. And I met a lot of great people while I was in New Zealand. So
and that's one thing about being an author, the doors that it opens up. Has that kind of surprised you, being an author? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I still have to remind myself that I am one. it's very humbling. I've gotten a lot of great feedback from a lot of people, and even I mentioned Mrs. Murphy, my seventh grade teacher, English teacher,
mm-hmm.
who encouraged me. I got this really great one page summary of a review of how much she enjoyed the book, and she continued to. Inspire me to continue to keep writing, and how she was looking forward to the next one. So to me, I put that up on my wall so I can look
right.
at it whenever I'm in doubt, because as a writer, you always question yourself. You always think, am I making the best choice here?
Right.
Is this going to resonate with anyone? But you just have to persevere through that and keep writing, because that's the main takeaway. Keep writing. No matter what you think about what you're writing, you need to keep writing.
I know our young people, I mean, okay, I know by ages, by the number, the young people are younger than we are
yeah.
because we're older. And I don't understand that. But
older and wiser, right?
Are kids still kids?
Yeah. You mean the kids nowadays?
I mean, kids. Are these still kids?
They're still kids.
Are still teenagers, still teenagers.
Yeah.
They still have imagination. They're just different kids than maybe last year's kid, but they're still kids. They're still kids.
Kids are still kids. Now, I will say, growing up, when I was the stuff that I was reading, it would be more, escapism type of things. Mm-hmm. Like, because I grew up living in the projects, I always, say, okay. Hey, yeah, I came from that type of background where, there weren't a lot of, positive things in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. There weren't a lot of opportunities, but I still was able to get out of that. But I would read things that helped me to escape to other places. Maybe it wasn't a magical world. Maybe it was something else. But I found ways to escape by reading, through reading. So,
yeah.
So I think nowadays with some of these kids, they actually like more stories that are grounded in reality, things that they can, feel they're not alone. So things that kind of resonate with them that say, hey, their experience, it validates their experience. So they look for more things that are grounded more in reality, but they still read. So that's a good thing. But, there's differences.
And then thinking about reading, explain to me real quickly the benefits of reading and going off and being lost in the book.
Well,
versus reality world. We got a lot of junk going on.
Yeah.
Look, when I go to a movie, I love going to a movie.
Yeah. Me too.
You get in the movie, you're watching the movie, you're watching, you're into the screens, you're into it. Yeah. And then it's over, and you go out the back door, open up the big old light called sunlight, and you're back to reality. Oh, man, I'm back.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I know.
So do you get the same thing reading a book?
Well, definitely, especially if if you really get like engrossed in this. I've had so many books that I feel like I'm right there with the character, and I just don't want it to end. And sometimes I get really sad when it doesn't. So, books are definitely that way. And even with the book, you get to go one step further because you get to imagine what that world looks like, or that whatever the setting or whatever. You get to imagine what the character looks like. Usually. With a movie, you see what the director wants you to see.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, but still
your
the
mind
same.
Goes.
Yeah, and, I think it's good to have young people use their mind, use their creativeness, use their imagination to to read these things and bring them to life in their own mind, in their own head. So I definitely think it's good, and I definitely think there are a lot of young students that are still reading. So that's a great thing.
That is great.
Maybe thing. Just a little different now.
How many books have you read?
Oh, I can't count.
That's good.
But I can't count. But I will attest that I normally read more nowadays anyway, more fantasy fiction, science fiction, that type of thing. I do like, which I know is going to make me sound like a huge nerd, but it's true. comic book, anything that has to do with comic book superheroes, I'm a huge fan of that. Like my brother, I have a big brother who lives in Atlanta, we would always grow up loving Superman, the original Superman, Christopher Reeves.
Right.
And I don't know. So we always would read comic books, and it was a way to escape and stuff like that. But I love reading all types of things, but I don't know the exact number on that. But I can say it's a lot.
Okay, we buy all the time because that's how it goes on radio.
Yeah.
What's in the horizon? What's new? What's coming up? What are you working on?
Sure. Well, there are at least three more books from the World Beyond the Stairs series. So, again, three more books are coming out from the World Beyond the Stairs. After that, or maybe during that, because it's already written, I've just been editing it. But I am actually working on a time travel book.
Okay. Uh-oh.
About these two teenage kids that... let's say borrow a neighbor's car and don't realize that it's actually a time machine.
Time machine.
Yeah. They end up kind of getting into some trouble. But the cool thing is it's a way for them to kind of learn about different historical figures that might have had some really strong impacts.
That'd be cool. Yeah. That will be cool. That would be cool. Can you imagine meeting certain people and and then you can take that knowledge back to your present time?
Exactly.
Oh, man, you could do some good stuff for them. That'd be awesome. I'd like to meet. Whoa. Yeah. I'll have hair again. You know?
But I'm obsessed. My wife again can attest to this, but I'm obsessed with anything to do with time travel. So I love that. But I've always wanted to do a time travel novel of some sort, so this is kind of my way to get to do that, but also maybe to have it resonate or be grounded in some form of reality, and also have some type of clear message that the readers can take away. So
that's J.T. Granger, y'all, all the way from Henderson, Kentucky, through Evansville, Indiana, the way of IU, here at Ben Davis High School on the radio on Giant 90.9. And he's got imagination, y'all, and he's still using it. And I want young folks out there to listen to what we just said, because, you know, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And you ain't waste none of that, have you?
I try not to, you know. But I still use my phone to jot down ideas, so there you go.
Well, you got your technology. You use your tools. But
I have to have reminders for everything, too. You know, it does go, unfortunately.
Well, if we see you at the neighborhood, we'll definitely holler at you. You got a book signing coming up anytime soon?
Not on the books yet, but I am going to be doing a cross-country book tour this summer. It should be around mid-July, so...
That is awesome.
Awesome. There's not an official date yet on the second book release, but that will be sometime early summer. So please be on the lookout for that.
All right. That's right. I don't know if I asked this or not, but how really do you, if you want to write a book, do you just start writing ideals out? Or is there a certain way start writing a book?
To be honest, there's not any set, I would say, in my opinion, there's not any set way to begin to write a book. Just basically jot down the ideas, start writing that way. It will come. And to be honest, this very first book, Mary's Journey, there were times where I had to write the ending first and then kind of go back. Because, again, it just depends. I knew, how I wanted the story to end. But there was this kind of middle part that I kind of kept getting, you know, caught up on, and I just couldn't get over that hump. And then I had a friend of mine recommend that I write the ending, because I knew how I wanted it to end. So he recommended that I do the ending and then kind of work my way back. And I actually it really helped. So there's no set way, set instruction on how to do it. I would say just write. If you have an idea, again, summarize it or outline it and just go from there. Just don't allow yourself to stop, because it's so easy for us to tell ourselves, oh, I'll get around to it whenever, or oh, it's not that important. But it is. You have an idea. Exactly. You want to see it through.
That's right. So we thank you, J.T. Granger. The novel, folks, is The World Beyond the Stairs, Mary's Journey. It's the first book in the series, so it'll be a four-part series.
Yes.
So, hey, folks, you got a lot of good stuff, a lot of good reading. Thank you, sir. Keep us posting on what you're doing here on the radio.
We'll do.
Let our students know, and anytime you got something going on, we'll love to talk about it. And when you got a book signing, definitely let us know when you got a book signing somewhere, so we can shout it out. Thank you for coming in, sir. High five.
Thank you so much for having me.